Hi, everyone. Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. Excited to have you with us today. We are resharing one of our episodes from earlier in the year. It's a big idea episode. It's called 9 Things We Do That Hold Us Back from Our Goals and Dreams in Life. Are you being held back from your goals and dreams? Are there things that you're doing knowingly or unknowingly that are holding you back from your goals and dreams? This is a list of 9 things. This episode is part of my big idea episodes where I come to you and I don't do an interview. Instead, I share a solo episode on a topic that I think can deliver you an incredible amount of value. Things, big ideas that have radically transformed my life for the better. And that's exactly what this episode is. I think you're going to love it. Remember, this was recorded earlier in the year, so there's a few references to the new year, and there's also no references to the crazy year that we've had with coronavirus and everything else and lockdown. So, 2 things. Number one, I hope you and your family are well. Even though this year has not gone the way that many of us have expected, I'm sending you love, and I know that the human spirit is resilient. We'll pivot, we'll make it through. And we'll go into next year even stronger. So that's number one. Number two, if you like this episode, please share it with a friend or text me. I'd love to hear from you. 302-200-5643. That's 302-200-5643. Okay, let's jump into this topic for today. 9 things we do that hold us back from our goals and dreams. Number one, obsess over what others think of you. We obsess over what others think of us a lot, especially when it comes to health. If you've ever wanted to make progress in some area of your life and you've started to make changes, one of the things that comes up is people starting to worry about how they look in the eyes of other people. You know, I've mentioned on the podcast before that a few years ago, about 5, 5 and a half, 6 years ago, my mom, my lovely mother, who listens to this podcast, shout out to my mom, got diagnosed with breast cancer. And I'm lucky that I'm in this world of integrative and functional medicine. I put together an incredible team. They put a protocol together for her. It was caught very early. It was early stage 1 breast cancer for HER2 positive gene. And the doctors put this incredible protocol together for her and said, okay, this is your new lifestyle now because we need to lower the estrogen that's there inside your system. We need to have a diet that's less in sugar. We need to include more protein into your diet, X, Y, and Z. And she followed down the list and she started feeling amazing right away. Now, in addition to the changes that the functional integrative doctors made with her, they also worked in conjunction with her regular doctors. And luckily, thankfully, knock on wood, thank the Lord, about 9-10 months later, she was officially diagnosed in remission. Now, she started to feel great, and we're very thankful that she was diagnosed in remission. And the doctor said, she had asked them, is this what I have to do now? They said, okay, you can ease up on this area, but this is your new lifestyle. This is what you want to do. And one of the things that my mom opened up about that was very tough for her is that even though she felt great, even though she was diagnosed as being cancer-free now after 9-10 months, it was very difficult for her to continue this new lifestyle that these doctors had created for her in social settings, especially when she would travel overseas to India to visit family and other places. So I asked her, I said, you know, what is it about that, Mom, that you feel? So I feel like people don't get it. They don't understand. They ask too many questions. I feel like I'm being judged by them or like I get weird looks and it sort of makes me feel uncomfortable. Now, that's a natural thing for anybody to feel. But if we really dive into that, if we think about that answer that my mom gave, we see something very interesting. My mom momentarily is obsessing about what other people think about her. Now, these other people are well-meaning. Human beings are designed to criticize and look at things that look different than what we normally are used to. It's one of the ways, and it's an adaptation that we developed living in small tribes and villages. Because if somebody was doing something different, it meant that the community could be at risk. So the first thing to understand when it comes to stopping to worry and obsess about what other people think about you and not giving as much attention to it is that most people don't even realize that their highly critical comments that make you want to obsess and worry about what they think are coming from a place of really worry and evolutionary worry. It's not something that they're actively thinking and noticing that they're often doing in most cases. Now, sometimes people do notice that and they want to give you a hard time because they want to be a little bit of a jerk or challenge you. And if we have compassion for those individuals and understand that really they either feel like they're not fitting in because now you're doing something new, that they don't understand and that maybe you're trying to position yourself as being better than them, or a whole host of other reasons. When we understand that, we can actually take a step back and realize that they're just playing out a pattern. And if we feel like defending ourselves inside of that pattern, then we're going to be playing the same game as them. Instead, if we zoom out and have some compassion for them, we can stop giving it energy. And there's an important question to ask yourself when you notice that you're obsessing over what others think of you in some area of your life. You want to ask yourself, where have you put them on a pedestal? Where have you given their opinion more weight than it deserves? It's kind of like this old phrase that maybe you've heard before, which is praise and blame are both the same. So if their criticism is something that is hurting your feelings or distracting you and you're obsessing over what they think of you, you want to look at the other side of it, the other side of that pendulum, which is where in the past have you given a lot of weight and energy to their praise, where they said you were doing something good. When you stop giving weight to praise, you can stop giving weight to blame. When you don't care about the good things that people are saying about you, you don't care as much about the negative things. Now, there are some times in life we have to take feedback from people and look at it honestly and say, okay, is it worth changing my approach or saying something differently? I'm not saying don't listen to people ever. What I'm saying is, how can we pull back and not give as much energy to obsessing over what others think of us? Because if my mom obsesses over what people think about her too much, then she stops living and practicing those healthy habits that are allowing her to feel in the best health that she's ever felt in her life. If you're interested more about my mom's journey and the people that have supported her, just as a side note, you can check out Ralph Moss, who's an integrative cancer researcher, who was one of the individuals that was on my mom's cancer team that I put together. And then also Dr. Elizabeth Boehm, who is at our wellness center, at the Ultra Wellness Center that I have with Dr. Mark Hyman. And we have a past podcast with her on Broken Brain. And she was just recently on The Doctor's Pharmacy, which is my business partner Mark Hyman's podcast. And you can listen more about her approach and her experiences as being a cancer survivor with breast cancer if you're interested more in that topic. So, summing up, if we want to take a step back and not obsess over what other people think about us when it comes to any aspect of our life, number one, have compassion. Number two, see where you are giving them unnecessary credit and weight to their opinions, not just the bad, but the good too. And with that awareness, you can start stepping back and stop giving as much energy to them and what they think about your life. They don't know you. They don't know your goals. They don't know your hopes and dreams. Even sometimes the people that are closest to us don't fully understand why we're doing what we want to do. Everybody doing something amazing in life is getting some criticisms from people who don't understand what they're up to. Just know that you're not alone, and that will help you to not give as much energy to obsessing over what other people are thinking about you. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Thrive Market, one of my favorite resources for getting healthy foods delivered right to my doorstep. Who doesn't love that? When it comes to what I eat, I'm super intentional. You guys know this, you listen to the podcast. So it's extremely important for me to know exactly what I'm buying. So I always take a deep dive into the ingredients and the company practices before adding anything new to my kitchen. My fiance knows this. With Thrive Market, I've been able to find tons of the brands I trust in one spot, like Four Sigmatic, Hue Kitchen, Artisana, and so many others. Forget this, up to 25 to 50% off the retail price. You just choose from a 1 month or 12 month membership to take advantage of their amazing deals. And by the way, if you're not into it, you have 30 days to cancel. Thrive Market has thousands of products, including gluten-free, dairy-free, organic, paleo, fair trade, you name it, they have it. You can get all the healthy ingredients and kitchen essentials and even clean home and body care products. They also have grass-fed beef and sustainable seafood options. So it's super easy to plan ahead for healthy meals and get them delivered right again to your doorstep. Right now, Thrive Market is offering my listeners an amazing deal. When you sign up for a new membership, you'll receive a free gift, And anytime you spend more than $49, you'll get free carbon neutral shipping from one of their zero waste warehouses. You get to pick the gift. The zero waste happens automatically. Thrive Market makes my life so much easier. I know you're going to love it as much as I do. So I set up a special code. Just go to thrivemarket.com/brokenbrain. That's thrivemarket.com/brokenbrain. Sign up and start filling up your cart. You'll see the credit automatically deducted at checkout. Okay, now back into today's episode. Number two, wasting time on social media is one of the things we do to avoid our goals and dreams. In 2020, in this beautiful day and age, social media is one of the most interesting tools that I use in my life to help spread the message of this podcast, connect with many of you listeners who have messaged me and have said hi, many of you who I've met in person and connected with, some of you who have hopped on the phone and said hello to. Social media is such a powerful, powerful tool for connection in this day and age. You know, social media gets a big and a very bad rap. If you've listened to any of my friendship episodes or podcast episodes, you know that I think of social media, especially for adults. It's different for kids who are more prone to addictive behaviors and that really do need limits on their screen time because of how social media and computers are designed. But when it comes to adults, I really do think of social media as a tool that can improve our life and can help us pull out of loneliness and really connect with people who have similar values and goals. So I'm pretty pro social media in that sense. Where I have challenges with social media and where I see people around me, even very close friends, using social media to avoid their dreams and goals in life and making progress on them is when it comes to what I call passive consumption. Passive consumption is when you open up social media because you're feeling lonely. You may not even realize you're feeling lonely or bored or sad, or that you're comparing your life to somebody else's life. And then you open up social media and then you start scrolling and you end up finding the evidence for what you need and what you want to believe. My dear friend NQ, who's going to be on the podcast soon, has this great quote. He says, "You will always find the evidence for what you choose to believe." So in the background of your mind, in your subconscious mind, if you are feeling not enough, if you go to social media and passively start scrolling through and flipping through Instagram or Facebook or anything else that's out there, by the way, the same thing goes for the news. If you passively start consuming and you have that background feeling in your mind, you now start to look for what you choose to believe. And this is a great way to avoid your goals and dreams in life, because if you find the answer to why you're not enough, if you find the answer on social media to why you're lonely, why nobody supports you, why you haven't made more progress in your life, why you can't go or feel stuck in your life when it comes to something that you want to give love and attention to, now all of a sudden you're going to have the reason for not actually taking action, for not reflecting, for not doing things positively. Now, the difference between what's the counterbalance or what's the alternative to passive consumption? The alternative passive consumption is something that I call intentional consumption, which is going in specifically with either a time limit or an idea in mind. An idea might mean that sometimes on Sundays, I'll go on social media and I'll say, I'm going to look for 5 people who I haven't talked to recently, and I'm going to send them a voice note or leave them a meaningful comment on their post and engage with them about how I miss them or how I think what they're up to is really great, or how I would love to reconnect. This is intentional consumption. You are taking in the content of other people, or you're posting something interesting if you're a content creator with a specific reason or goal in mind. And that is a great goal, to go in and say, I'm going to comment on 5 people's pages because I want to see. It's nice. Social media is beautiful. You get to see what people are up to. You get to see who just had a kid. You get to see who's doing something new, some goal that they achieved. I just posted something on social media the other day on Instagram, how this podcast that you all support, which I super duper appreciate, just hit in 2019, 7 million downloads. I felt proud about that. I wanted to share that. I wanted to give a little bit of love and attention to the amazing guests that have been on this podcast. So I posted that on there, and so many of my friends and community members, and some of you also, left comments. I think I got almost 200 comments on there saying, thank you, amazing. Few people reached out, said they would love to come on the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. So social media is so great for things like that. But when we don't have a time limit, when we don't have an intention, when we go on it, that's when it can become toxic. That's when we can find the evidence for what we choose to believe, and it can become an impediment and help us avoid our goals and dreams in life. All right. Number three, the number three thing that I see people doing when it comes to avoiding their goals and dreams in life is I see them not asking for help or support from their friends or community. You know, I'm so surprised how often I have a friend who reaches out to me about a challenge that they're going through in life. Somebody that I care about, somebody that maybe is even one of my closest friends. And in this day and age, you know, we get busy. I'm focused on my companies. I'm focused on my podcast. I might be traveling for a little while. Life happens quickly. I'll come back. I'll check in with a friend, or I'll hear from them randomly maybe a few months later on, and they'll come to me and they'll tell me about a very challenging time that they went through in their life that I had no clue about, even though I care about them and I'm so close to them. It's a great reminder. It's a great reminder for two things. Number one, if I knew what they were going through, even if they just reached out and said, hey, I'm going through a challenging time and it's not something that you can help me out with, but I just want to tell you because having somebody else know about it makes me feel less lonely and makes me feel more supported. That in itself would have tremendously helped them in getting through what they're dealing with instead of suffering through it on their own. So the first reminder is, if you're somebody out there that's going through something challenging in your life that you need support with, please, please reach out to a friend. It could even be a friend from 10 years ago, 20 years ago that you haven't talked to. If they're truly a friend, they want to hear from you. And even if they don't have an answer, even if they can't make the situation better, they can at least hear you out. And so many studies and surveys have shown that if you feel like there's one person in your life that is there for you, that's listening, that can hear the challenging times that you're going through, it makes you that much more capable of dealing with the challenge that you're going through and becoming more resilient when it comes to getting out of the challenge that you're facing. So asking friends for help, for support, even if it's just to listen, is a great way to make progress in your goals and dreams in life. Because the alternative is, if you get stuck in a rabbit hole and you isolate yourself from other people, you're not going to feel excited to make progress on the things that you want to make progress on. I love hearing from my friends when they're going through a challenge. You know, we had a great podcast guest in the past, Dr. Omid Naeem, integrative psychiatrist here in Los Angeles. And he said that true friendships and relationships is all about finding moments of friction between ourselves and another person. He had a great story about how he would show up at his kid's school and he'd take an Uber there, and then he'd ask for a parent for a ride back. He'd ask them for something. He'd tell them that he was kind of needing a ride back and would they be willing to help them? And the beautiful thing that would come from that is it was a moment of dependency. When we rely on other people, when we give them an opportunity to actually show up for us, that strengthens our relationship with them because it also lets them know that they can rely on us too. Now, I know there's somebody out there listening that says, well, I tried that and people weren't there to support me. The counter to that is that sometimes people are going through such challenging moments in their life too that they don't have the ability to be there. Or maybe our relationship wasn't as deep with them as we thought it was. And we have to have compassion for them too. But what I know is this. If you reach out to that first person, they can't be there for you and they can't listen, reach out to the next person. Because I do believe in the kindness and the beauty in human beings. And I know that eventually one person is going to be able to be there for you. Now, in an extreme situation, if nobody's there for you, this is a perfect example of going to where people grow and building new friendships, creating a new community, creating intentional friends around you. If you want to know more about that, I've done a couple podcasts on the topic of friendships and how to create new friendships and deeper relationships in your life. Go listen to them. You can scroll on iTunes or a podcast and find the recent ones that are out there. Asking for help is a super power. There are probably a good 5-6 people in my life separate from my family that I go to regularly and I say, this is something I'm dealing with. I don't need exact guidance. If you have guidance for me, great, but I just need you to hear me out if you could. And those relationships have gotten stronger over the years because I was willing to do that. Number four, the fourth thing that I see people doing regularly that causes them to avoid their goals and dreams in life is blame everyone else instead of looking within. You know, sometimes in life, things don't work out the way that we want them to. Relationships end, businesses fail, challenges happen, we don't make progress. But when we use those failures and those hiccups and those speed bumps as an excuse to blame everybody else, to blame others, instead of looking within, we do something very important in a bad way. We give up our power to change the circumstance or situation. It takes a lot of courage to look at a situation and say, what did I do to not, even if it's not fully cause the situation, how did I contribute to this thing that went wrong? When we do that, and we're willing to have that honest conversation with ourselves, the beauty that happens is that we can start to make progress. There is a coach, Jerry Corona, who has this incredible quote. He says, where have I been complicit, right? Where have I been complicit in the things that I say that I don't want in my life? So if you have friends in your life who are not as supportive, who primarily want to gossip or don't want to do healthy things or have healthy habits, what you want to do instead of just blaming them and kicking them to the curb is look at how have I been complicit in creating those friendships and those relationships? Have I contributed to those things? Have I not gone out and sought new friends and new relationships? Have I been scared of putting myself out there? Whatever it might be, if you are in a fight right now with a friend or a loved one, if there's somebody in your life that's annoying you right now, if there's somebody that wronged you, if you can at least find a small thing that you did to contribute to that, you start to get back your power. Because when you blame somebody else, you're essentially saying that it's 100% their fault. And if it's 100% their fault, then the solution also lays 100% with them. But if we can see the way that we've been complicit in creating something in our life that we don't like or didn't want, then the solution rests within us. Now, obviously, I got to put a disclaimer out there. In extreme acts of violence and extreme acts of, you know, war or, you know, hurt or things that have been caused, sexual abuse, obviously, this statement doesn't hold true in those cases. So anybody who's gone through that, please note that I do understand that. But for most situations in life, for most of the interactions that are not those things, we can find some way that we've contributed to a situation. And when we are willing to investigate that and go deeper, we start to take back our power. If you want to know more about this, you want to dig deeper into this, our number one podcast in 2019 was episode number 55, with my dear friend Peter Crone, all about how to retrain the subconscious mind. And it has a lot to do with understanding the way that we make other people wrong. How are you making somebody else wrong in your life? Even if you think you're 100% right that you're making them wrong, this is a great episode for you. It'll free you up. It'll have you reclaim your energy and allow you to focus on your goals and dreams. Okay, number five. The number five thing that I see people doing that prevents them from making progress on their goals and dreams in life is they avoid setting an intention for the day. One of my dear friends that was on this podcast previously, Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, talked about something called micro stressors in his past episode on stress. He wrote a book called The Stress Solution, fantastic read for anybody who's dealing with stress, which after talking to more and more functional medicine doctors that are out there, most of them believe that I've talked to, the ones that I really respect, that stress more than diet, more than other things that are out there, is the number one thing that's causing people to continue to be sick. If we don't get our stress under control and learn to embrace it, the healthy stress in our life, and remove the toxic stress in our life, we can never fully get healthy. So Dr. Rangan Chatterjee's Stress Solution. Anyways, the reason that I bring him up is that on our past episode, Dr. Chatterjee mentioned something called microstressors. Microstressors are these little insults that happen in the morning that over a period of time when they've built up, they put us over our edge. If you imagine a cup, a microstress is a little drop. It's a drop of somebody cutting us off in traffic. It's a drop of hearing about something super negative in the news, the next bombing, the next thing that causes these little micro stressors and traumas. You add them up, and then eventually your cup overfills and you now have a bigger stressor in life, or you can't cope with work the same way, or you yell at your partner, or you yell at your kids when these micro stressors build up. Now, one of the ways to protect ourselves from these micro stressors ruling our life is to set an intention for the day. Before we allow other people to control our energy, we wake up first thing in the morning and we just set a little intention for what we want the day to mean. We can even do it at night before we go to sleep for the next day that's there. And we put out an idea or a vision of what today is about. If you are breathing, if you wake up in the morning, if you have the ability to start a new day and be a human being, you are freaking winning. And if you're winning, that means that you have this opportunity to actually use your life to make a difference and make progress on something that you care about. Your goals are your dreams. So if you set an intention in the morning, that creates an energetic force field around you that makes it a little harder for those micro stressors to start taking over. If we notice that the news is starting to get really negative and put our attention away from the things that we want to work on, especially television, which is really in the, if it bleeds, it leads energy. And what my dear friend, Michael Beckwith, well, one of my friends, I wish he was my dear friend. He's a friend. Michael Beckwith says is the news is really just tapping into the lowest common denominator of the human experience. If we give our energy to that, if we give our energy to that email that our boss sends, if we give our energy to things that are not always creating the best life and focus for us, we will not be able to make the progress that we want to in life. So setting an intention quietly in the morning for yourself, it doesn't have to be on paper. It could just be simply as saying, my intention for the day is to X, Y, and Z. My intention for the day is to be in a space of joy and creation. My intention for the day is to be in a space of reflection. My intention today is to give back and make a difference in people's lives. Whatever it is, just you choosing to make that intention sets you up for what's to come. All right, number six. The number six thing that I see people doing that helps them avoid their goals and dreams in life is they're spending time with the quote unquote wrong people. You know, I've done a couple episodes on friendship. I hope you've checked them out. If you haven't, it's a topic that I'm very passionate about because I've seen how much of a difference our friends can have and the people that surround ourselves with can have when it comes to making progress in life. When we spend time with the wrong people, and by the way, the wrong people could be people on the news, people on the internet that we're not close to, watching TV shows that don't support us, It could be family members who love us but aren't supportive for what we're working on right now, who mean well but just don't know how to be there for us with what we're working on. When we spend time with the quote-unquote wrong people, our dreams and goals get the energy sucked out of them. It's so much harder to make progress. Now, what I'm increasingly seeing more and more every day, I'm going to pause here real quick to take a sip of water. What I'm seeing more and more of is sometimes spending time with the wrong people is spending time with no one. I see so many parents, especially new mothers, who are doing the best they can and have some friends, but are not spending time with people and are really kind of isolating themselves. It's very challenging to be a new mother and be there for your kids, for your partner, and it's very isolating. And my heart goes out to so many of the mothers that are out there. But sometimes that means being a parent, you're just not hanging out with anybody. And you're primarily hanging out with your kids, and your kids are your kids. They're not your friends. Not that they can't also be your friends too, but you need other human connection in life. So prioritizing spending time with the right people, the people that are soul friendships, friendships of the soul, which one researcher said are people that help you and support you with your biggest dreams and goals in life and your creative vision for what's possible. That is so key when it comes to making progress on anything that we want to in life. So auditing your friends. If you want to know if you're spending time with the wrong people, we need to audit our friendships, and we can keep it very simple. Basically call it the Marie Kondo effect of friendships. When you think about the people that you hang out with the most, friendships, family as well too, when you leave spending time with that person, do you feel energetically drained? Or in a much simpler terms, do you feel heavy or do you feel light? If you notice that you have a lot of heavy relationships in life, that's the time to start making a shift. If you notice that a lot of your relationships are leaving you feeling light, then congratulations, because you're doing something right. The people you spend time with have one of the biggest impacts on your average daily level of happiness. Don't take it lightly who you spend your time with. All right, number seven, the seventh thing that I see people doing that prevents them from making progress on their goals and dreams in life is they don't read books that help them level up. Now, if you're a listener of this podcast, chances are you're also a book reader. And I think that one of the interesting stats that always just blows my mind is that the average person after high school in America reads only one book. That's a stat that I came across a few years ago, which is crazy. Now, we know that people, of the people that buy books, this is based on book industry estimates, only 10% of people make it past the first chapter. Now, there's so many books out there. There's so many authors. I'm obviously contributing to that because I have a new author on my podcast every single week, hopefully because they are writing a great book. And there's so many books that are out there, but the one thing that is there is that we don't always get a chance to read books that can truly help us level up. Now, podcasts are great, but I want to make a statement in defense of books. When you really indulge in a book, when you go deep into a book, when you bury yourself into a book, and you really get that perspective, a couple things are happening. Number one, you're away from notifications and other distractions if you're getting a chance to really read and focus in on that book. Podcasts, which are on your phone, on your computer, you're probably multitasking, you're doing other things. Nothing wrong with that. They have a purpose, and I thank everybody for listening to this podcast. But podcasts are not a replacement for books that are there that can help you level up in your goals and dreams in life. Taking a book every so often and shutting out the rest of the world on a Saturday or Sunday, even for 30 minutes, if you only have 30 minutes once a week, that can make such a difference when it comes to your level of focus. If you look at Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, many of the successful people that are out there, they'll tell you that they devote a huge chunk of their time to reading. There's a bunch of articles that are out there about how Bill Gates prioritizes books and how his books think help him think about leveling up in his life and how they've helped him across the board when it comes to his charitable work and running his companies in the past and everything else that's out there. Now, if you were looking for a book that is my number one recommendation for you for 2020, especially if you have a hard time making progress on anything that you care about in life, that book is called The One Thing by Gary Keller. The One Thing is all about how to prioritize in our life and how people who are disproportionately successful in business, in health, in relationships, in every area do something, which is that they are clear about their one thing. They're clear about their thing that they want to give love and attention to, and they protect that thing from all the noise and distractions that are out there. It sounds like a simple concept, but this book lays it out in such a profound way. It's something that I've been practicing for a long time, but when I came across this book, I was like, how is this not the book that I've been, you know, how is this not, this is the book that I needed when I first started my journey, when I would try to do too much, too many things. You know, I'm going to pause for a second and say, every week on this podcast, I have a new guest on. That guest is coming with their own insights and ideas that they've seen in their own life. Now, if you try to do what every single guest recommends, you're going to freaking overwhelm yourself. You're going to be doing too many different things. Even me, even though I read all these different books and these fascinating guests and all their different tips and tricks that are out there, I'm constantly looking at my life and choosing what I want to prioritize, what I want to try that's new. And for everything that new, for everything that's new that I'm trying in my life, I have to let go of something else. Every time you add in something new, you can't do everything else the same way. So it's a trade-off. So you really want to audit the things that you want to take on in your life and make sure that it's actually something that's serving you for the things that are most important. And this book, The One Thing, will help you do that. If you want a link to the book, text me 302-335-6565. I can send you the link and some notes that I have that I wrote on the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, previously. It's a game changer. Number eight, the eighth thing that I see people doing that helps them avoid their goals and dreams in life is living the life that others expect of them instead of the life that's true to you. When you live a life that others expect of you instead of a life that's true to you, that's a great way to avoid your goals and dreams. Now, this one, this eighth one, is something that I stole from the author Bronnie Ware. Bronnie Ware is a palliative care nurse in Australia who is someone who sat at the deathbed of hundreds of people who were about to die and noticed something very interesting. When people are at the cusp where they're almost going to be transitioning on, they get very real. They start sharing all their biggest regrets in life. Over a period of time, she started writing these regrets down. And the number one regret that people would share with her was, I wish I lived a life that was true to me and not a life that others expected of me. Just think about that for a second. If you're not driving and you're listening to this podcast, if you're driving, keep your eyes open. But if you're not driving, close your eyes for a second. And just imagine yourself on your deathbed at 90, 100, 120 years old, and feeling like your number one regret in life was, I wish I had the courage to live the life that I wanted instead of the life that others expected of me. Just feel the weight of that regret. It's huge. I don't want you having that regret. I don't want that regret for anyone. And so what that takes, if we are willing to have the courage to live a life that's true to us, it takes honesty. Where are you currently living the life that somebody else expected of you? I'll share a story with you. Many of the listeners of this podcast know that I'm a businessman. I have a bunch of different businesses with my business partner, Dr. Mark Hyman. He's awesome. I'm thankful. Before that, started a bunch of different companies, some successful, some very successful, some not so successful. Now, one thing I got clear on is that even though I was a great student in high school and I had immigrant parents who really forced me to do well in school, even at times where I wasn't that great in school. So even though I did well in high school and I was excited to go to college and got accepted into a great university, University of Delaware, I quickly got into school and realized that for what I wanted to do in life, which was build businesses and companies, especially in the space of technology, school was not the pathway for me. So even though I did great in school, and even though I know I could do good in school, I had a crossroads that I came across. And that crossroads was, okay, if I wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, school was perfect. I should stay in it and do that. But was I willing to have a conversation with my immigrant parents and tell them that I wanted to pursue a different path? And if it didn't work out, I could always go back to school. Now, in doing that and being honest with myself and then being honest with my parents, I created disappointment. My parents, who had never, ever thought that their son would be talking about dropping out of college, were so hurt by what I brought up. They first said, no, when you graduate, you can do whatever you want to do. We're not letting you drop out. And we continued the conversation further, and I shared with them, and I shared with them why this was important to me and how they needed to trust me because I've been somebody that always did well in school. But if I'm bringing this up and I'm a good kid, it's not because I'm lazy. They finally eventually said, okay, we're going to give you a year, but they were still very, very disappointed in what I had to share. But the thing is, did I want to disappoint them a little bit now? And obviously I'm 37 now. It's been many, many years since I was in college, back to 2003, when I had that conversation with my parents. But did I want to disappoint them back then in 2003, or did I want to have a ton of regret later on in my life for not following the path that I wanted to follow? If you want to live the life that is true to you, you have to be willing to have honest conversations and think about the expectations that you're living by for other people and whether or not those expectations have to be broken. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's something that you're going to be looking forward to. I'm not saying that you can even do and take a big leap in one day or one week or one year even to start living a life that's true to you. But if we don't ask ourselves that question, am I living a life that's true to me? We are not going to get the energy and we're not going to have the ability to truly focus on our goals and dreams in life, whatever they are. These are the things that are holding us back, living a life that others want us to live. Now, in my life since that time, there's been many other times where I've had to disappoint business partners or other people and say that this thing is no longer serving with me, and I do it with integrity in the best way that I can. And I say I need to go on a different path because this is what's true to me. And it's not that there's not consequences for those things. And I'm not saying just go and quit on every single person that's out there and say it's all about you. There's a way to do it tastefully. There's a way to do it with integrity. There's a way to do it early and often so that you're not living other people's life. You're living your own life. And at least today, you can take one tiny step to make progress in that direction. If you want to know more about this topic, I would highly recommend checking out Bronnie's book, Bronnie Ware, Five Regrets of the Dying. The top five regrets of the dying. You can read more about other people's stories. And especially when it comes to this top regret, living the life that others expect of you instead of a life that's true to you, you'll see some really great examples in there. And it might give you courage because when you spend time in an old folks home, which I've done before, and I continue to do, and I look forward to do with some of my friends, we volunteered here in Santa Monica at a memory care center retirement community. When you spend time with older people, people that are on the cusp of transitioning from this life into whatever is next and beyond, you realize that so much shit does not matter. And that all these things that we're worried about and all these people that we're worried about disappointing, they don't even care anyway when it comes later on in life. Or if they do care, it didn't matter because what really mattered was what we wanted to make progress on, our goals and dreams in life, because we're the only person that we're left accountable with. All right, enough about that. The ninth thing that I see people doing, and this one is number nine, but this one truly could be number 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. The ninth thing that I see people doing every day that helps them, whether they want it or not, avoid their goals and dreams in life is being hard on themselves every day, all day. Wow. If I could give a virtual hug to everybody who's listening, who has been hard on themselves already this morning, already this afternoon, already this evening for something in their life, that somebody that's beaten themselves up, if I could give you a virtual hug and just say, man, if you could see yourself as a child, as a little boy, a little girl, a little child who's doing the best they can, you would have a little bit more compassion for yourself. You know, think about it this way. There's ways that you talk to yourself that you would not talk to your closest friend, or if you're a parent, that you would never talk that way to your child. You're hard on yourself in a way that you would never be to a best friend or somebody that you love in your life. Why is that? Why are we so hard on ourselves? Well, one of my favorite books that goes into this topic is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And one of the things that we see from that book and our own reflections and meditations is that being hard on ourselves is our ego's way of continuing to make sure that we don't make progress on our goals and dreams in life. Because when our ego is hard on ourselves, when our ego, the little me inside of us, is like, you're not enough, you'll never be enough, you messed up, you do this wrong, you did that wrong, you did this wrong last year, you F this up, you F that up, you should have done this, you should have done that. It's a way of our ego protecting itself. You know, our ego needs constant stimulation and energy to keep itself alive. Now, evolutionarily, we've developed an ego to protect ourselves, to make sure that our genes can be passed on. And I'm sure there's a lot of great reasons why we have this ego inside of us that's fighting at all times to make sure that we're okay. Now, sometimes when it comes to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, as we graduate into goals, dreams, spiritual development, making things happen, our ego gets very nervous. Because when you're on the path of evolution, it's worried that it's no longer going to be useful. It's worried that you're no longer going to need it. And what's going to happen when you're not criticizing yourself all the time? Are you going to be okay? Who's going to be looking out for you? Now, there's a lot of different theories on, is the ego still needed? Why is it there? Where did it come from? I'm not going to get into all that. This isn't that type of conversation. But if you want to learn a little bit more about it, you can read Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, or A New Earth, where he dives into it pretty deeply. All I want to say is this. When you're super hard on yourself all day, every day, it's actually counterproductive. So why would human beings do something that's counterproductive? Because we're scared. We're afraid. We're afraid of making progress in our life sometimes. We're afraid of actually going and achieving the things that we want to do. We're afraid of putting ourselves out there. What if people don't like us? So instead, we're going to criticize ourselves so that we stop trying. We're afraid of actually making progress in our health. It sounds crazy, but I can't tell you how often I meet people who are afraid of letting something go in their life that's not working. Or sometimes, along with it, there's a voice of somebody else that's stuck in their head. Maybe a criticizing uncle or aunt or parent or somebody in your life that you've not come to completion with or terms with. You hear their voice and you hear their insecurities that they wanted to put on you. And that voice now has been confused with your own voice. One tool that's really been helpful for me in my life for unpacking those voices that are out there, even from people that mean the best for us, is a few years ago, I went and explored this, continuing learning program called Landmark. It gets a bad rap. It's a very salesy organization, Landmark Education. And the introductory program that I did was called the Landmark Forum. But I had a mentor who said, listen, Landmark is great for so many different things, and it's not great for other things. But I think it will be helpful in your evolution. If you Google it online, people will say it's a cult, it's this, it's that, or it's whatever. Definitely, it's an intense program, and it's not for everybody. But I'm telling you, if you trust me, it was something that was helpful for me. I did it back when I was in university, transitioning from dropping out and being an entrepreneur. It's been super helpful to realize the patterns and the insecurities that I have confused as my own voice in life. And once you're aware of them, you can have some distance. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can Google it, Landmark Forum, Landmark Education, and check it out if you want to. Don't check it out if you don't want to. Again, very salesy organization. They mean the best, but it's not for everybody. And I just did the first one and I got tremendous value out of it. I've had many other friends do it, also get tremendous value out of it too. So just a tip, a recommendation. I'm not affiliated with them in any way at all. Haven't done any more of their programs. If it's useful, do it. If it's not, don't do it. But most importantly, start to become aware of how many times a day. If you want to do this, it's very simple. Just pull out a notepad and start making a check mark every time during the day, and do this for a week, that you are hard on yourself. When you start becoming aware of this, because sometimes people aren't even aware, that awareness will begin the uncoupling and realizing that this is no longer needed. We don't have to be as hard on ourselves, but we can't begin that process of not being hard on ourselves if we're not aware of how often we are hard on ourselves, how often we're critical of ourselves. So for everybody who's been hard on themselves today, I'm giving you a big hug. You don't have to do that anymore. It's a new year. It's a new experience. Have some compassion for yourself. I have compassion for you, and I really want the best for you. Okay. We've now come to the conclusion of our podcast, 9 things people do to avoid their goals and dreams in life. I hope it's been helpful. This is something new that we're trying. If you like this episode, text me today and let me know what you thought of it. If you want more of these episodes with me talking directly into the microphone and having more of a conversation and dialogue about my stories, my journeys, my experiences in life, please let me know. If you like them, I'll do more. If you don't, please text me too and tell me you didn't like it, and I'll take that feedback with a grain of salt. And I wish you a happy 2020 for all the things that you want to give love and attention to. That is my deepest hope for you for the new year, is that you have the courage to give love and attention to the things that matter most to you. I'm Drew Perowit, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. It's been a pleasure to be there with you. Thank you. Thank you. If you like this podcast, consider leaving a review, and more importantly, share it with a friend. If there's somebody that you know that could benefit from listening to this podcast, share it with them. That would mean the world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Until next time, Drew Perowit signing off.